10th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 20th verse of the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from the shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. We may read a few more scriptures, but I would like to dwell a moment on this one. I would like to speak a little this afternoon of certain points in the lives of the two Sauls. Saul, the son of Kish, as we've read of, and Saul, who later was named Paul, which means little, in the New Testament. And I believe we have a tremendous contrast here with these two religious men. Now, perhaps we won't get into truth that would relate to our hymn too much this afternoon, precious as it is. But there are certain points here, I think, that are very important because of the day we live in. We live in a day of prosperity. We live in a day of religious profession. And what God wants is reality. And there is always the possibility of our hearts deceiving us. We have here a man who starts out well, Saul. Every prospect was good for this man. He started out humble, as you will read in the chapter before. And he spoke of himself as the least in the least of the tribes of Israel. He took a very humble place. And we find here in this chapter that when they went to find him, because he had already been anointed by Samuel to be king, he had hidden himself. Well, those are good qualities, aren't they? But we find that not only was he God's choice, but he was the people's choice. So it doesn't do too much good to vote, does it? God is going to have his man in regardless. And you know, we find in this man, Saul, that once he was announced king and they said, God save the king, there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. There was nothing said about God touching Saul's heart. Now this is solemn. Could it be, beloved, that there might be one of us who might seek to be a little help to the people of God and God has never touched our heart? Could it be? Could it be that we're riding on a false premise, pretending to something that isn't real with us? And yet there was a band of men who rejoiced that God had chosen that king. Do you rejoice, dear ones, when God uses someone else? You should. There's no jealousy in that new nature. Saul, later we find, was a jealous king. Extremely jealous, to the point of murder. But he didn't start out that way. And you know, this afternoon I was just thinking how good it would be. It's good, of course, to have truth before us. It's marvelous to be instructed in the Word of God. But oh, how much better, beloved, to go home from these meetings to know that God has touched our hearts with His precious Word. That God has touched our hearts, not just instructed us. You know, knowledge is a good thing. It's not good to be without it. But knowledge will not do alone. Our hearts must be reached. And the only way they're reached, beloved, is through the conscience. And there went a band of men with Saul, whose hearts God had touched. It's wonderful to see the Lord Jesus touching the leper, healing him. And that touch of the blind man and healing his eyes. Oh, there's many touches in the gospel. And maybe your eyes have been touched and opened. But has your heart been touched? And you're going along with the people of God, and your heart has never been touched. I said to a young man once, who was not at the table, I said, are you a Christian? He said, who would think I wasn't? Do you like that kind of an answer? I question that his heart had ever been touched. Oh, beloved, if our heart is touched, shouldn't we give an affirmative answer and a joyful answer that God has touched our hearts? Turn with me to the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that when Amalek, which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. A little further, in the 13th verse, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites. and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. You know, it's a solemn thing what we read in the first portion, how that the manner of the kingdom was written up in a book. You notice it was written up in a book. How solemn that everything is written up in a book. The very beginning of our lives and the end of our lives is written in a book. The manner of the kingdom was set forth in Deuteronomy, but also Samuel was given to tell Saul the manner of the kingdom. And so it was all written in a book. You know, there's a day that's coming when everything that has been done in the body will be brought to light. And as we go on from day to day and we've made a profession of Christ, do we realize what it means to disobey the word of the Lord? Do we realize what it means to walk in our own ways and the results in the coming day? The bitter fruits down here, as we find in the life of Saul, and also the day that's coming when that book will be opened. Now in our chapter, we find that Saul is tested, and so will everyone. Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt, and everyone will be salted with fire. I believe I quoted that right. It's in Mark's Gospel. God is going to test everything we do. He's going to test everyone who makes a profession. And fire is his own, would suggest that which is in keeping with his own character as a test. And so we find here that this man who was appointed to such high honors as to be the king over God's heritage, his people. He's now going to be tested to see whether he's walking according to that which was laid down as to the order of the kingdom. I want to turn you to a verse, keep this place, in the first epistle of John, I believe a very important verse or two. The second chapter of the first epistle of John, and the third verse. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Solemn, isn't it? Now we find that Saul was told to go out and slay the Amalekites because they had laid wait for Israel when they entered the land. Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps, and so does a nation. And now it is the turn for the Amalekites to be punished for what they had done to God's people. But as he goes out to do this, he only partly obeys the word of the Lord. He thought he knew better than God, and so he would save some of the best to sacrifice to the Lord. He hadn't learned the principle, and by the way, he would have learned it if he had done what the king should do. In Deuteronomy 17, the king was to take and write a copy of the book of the law and have it before him all the days of his life. He would have known then. You know, it's interesting. I know of two or three persons who have literally copied the scriptures by hand. Get pretty close to them that way, don't we? And that's what the king was supposed to do. The word of God, the word of the living God, the only rule for man's life. One verse to be saved by, the whole word of God to live by, and we need it all. But you know, unless we read the word of God and walk according to the light of it, and seek that wisdom from God, we're going to fail. Regardless, we cannot help it. Those who have made a profession of Christ, if they're real, have a new nature, and that new nature cannot feed on anything below heaven. It must have its supply from heaven, and this, beloved, is the supply. As the Spirit of God opens it to us, as we take the place of dependence. Was Saul in the place of dependence here? No, he was in the place of disobedience. And the prophet has to tell him when he was little in his own eyes. Oh, how important this is. May God grant to each one of us here this afternoon that we're preserved little in our own eyes. May he grant it, beloved, to every one of us. That's the only safe place. I want to ask you this. Can you salvage anything from the flesh for a heavenly life? No, you can't. Not one thing in the flesh that'll help you. And so, he's reminded of this. But he's come up. He's the great man in Israel, head and shoulders above the rest, outwardly and inwardly the same. He's risen now to the point where he knows better than God what to do. He thinks. And what did it cost him? The kingdom. And what will it cost you and me, beloved, if we disobey the word of the Lord? Willfully walk in our own ways? Well, it'll cost us. It'll cost us. Be sure of that. And now this verse. I learned this verse over 50 years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and often I quote it. The 22nd and the 23rd verses. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Witchcraft? Yes, witchcraft. Now turn with me to another portion in this same book. In the 28th chapter, the 3rd verse, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness." Here we have it. And beloved, this was the last night of Saul's life. And he spent it in the house of a witch. That great king that stood head and shoulders above his fellows. That one who was appointed God's king over his people. He spent his last night in the house of a witch because God wouldn't answer him. Oh, how solemn. Does this have a voice for us this afternoon? Are there any here who would rather walk in their own ways? Oh, how good it is of God to warn us. Would you like to end your days this way? Saul had the highest profession of his day. He had the most light. Everything was available. Even the prophet was there to give him the mind of God if he would obey it. But he turns from it. And he'd rather have the honor of the people than the honor that comes from God. Now turn with me to Acts, please. Because we have something perhaps a little better for us, although these warnings are good. But in the 8th chapter of Acts, we have another Saul. Yes, 8th chapter of Acts in the 1st verse. "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That was Stephen's death. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles." 3rd verse, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Now turn with me to the 9th chapter. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Now turneth me to the book of Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 19. For I, through the law, Paul is speaking, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, that is the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now one more passage in 2 Timothy, in the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now one more passage in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in the end of the 3rd chapter, on the 17th verse, and now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. I would just like to point out, dear ones, the contrast in these two. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, which we won't turn to, it says a certain man had 2 sons. It's a picture of man. 2 kinds of men. He said to the first, go work in my vineyard. He said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented and went. The other one, he said, go work in my vineyard. And he said, I go, sir. But went not. The question is, which did the will of his master? We find Saul, a religious man, the Saul of the son of Kish. Both of them were Benjamites. Both Sauls had the highest privileges of their day. They were both religious men. But we find that Saul of the book of Acts He went about haling men and women to prison because they believed in Jesus. And when he was old, he speaks of himself as the chief of sinners, because he knew of no greater sin than this, than to do anything against the Christ of God. But there came a time when Saul of Tarsus repented. He had said, "I will not." But the time came when he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" His heart was touched. Nothing else would do it. All the instruction in the world wouldn't do it. He had that. But his heart was touched. Oh, that our hearts might be touched here this afternoon. We've had such precious ministry before today to touch our hearts. How good it would be if we went home, even though we don't remember too much, if we had our hearts touched. And that there might be purpose of heart, as we see with Saul of Tarsus, from the very moment that he is smitten on the Damascus road, he gives himself over entirely to the Lord Jesus. His heart was touched. And what does he say? "Ah, for me to live is Christ." Christ. You know, one of the men that we have looked up to, in his writings at least, that we have read, he makes this comment. He said, "I do not regard the flesh as me. It's an enemy within me." Such were some of you. And we are entitled to regard the flesh. That wicked principle dwelling within us as an enemy. How good it is to look at it this way, because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the life we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And in Corinthians, Paul speaks of his ministry. And what is his ministry? Why, he said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Why? Because he's still talking about that light that shined into his soul. His heart was touched. And just as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that light has shined into the apostle's heart. Oh, it was a great light on the Damascus road. Yes, it was. But he's talking about another light as well. And that was the light when he saw the Lord Jesus at that time. And now from that moment on, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when we come to that passage in Timothy, we find the apostle is living so close to God, he knew that his mission was over. Wouldn't it be nice to finish your course? Well, you say, what do you mean by finishing your course? I mean just that, dear one. I believe God has given each one of us a course to finish. I believe he's given each one of us a work to do. And oh, how it humbles one to think of this. Do you want to finish it with joy? the flesh won't help one bit. The flesh won't help one bit. Saul proved that. Saul, the son of Kish, he proved that the flesh won't help a bit. He only lost his kingdom. I don't know anything about his soul. We leave that with God. But we know that he took his own life. We know that God wouldn't answer him. Oh, what a way to end one's life. But oh, how sweet, how precious with the Apostle Paul. He knew that in a few moments or days, he would be in the presence of Jesus. What a hope. And to know that you've finished your course, and that with joy. And yet, if we went on to read, which we will not do, in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, we'd see that as far as his condition physically was concerned, it was nothing but sorrow and trial. And yet, it was in those cold, dark, dank prisons that that dear apostle of Christ, in the power of the Spirit of God, gave us the highest ministry that it was ever given to man. A man who said, "I will not," and then repented and went. Oh, how we have these precious truths to warn us along the way, and then the precious truths that would lead our hearts into that blessed rest with joy, to finish our course with joy. May it be so with us, dear brethren.